I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey everyone, we have exciting news. Kinetic Content is currently casting an LGBTQ+ show in the Seattle area, and they are looking for applicants. They are the producers of hit shows like Married at First Sight and the Emmy-nominated show Love is Blind.
Oh, I wish I lived in Seattle. This new show is a relationship-based series for a major streaming network in the Seattle area, and they're looking for unmarried, lesbian, bisexual, and queer women in LGBTQ+ relationships. Sound like you?
To apply, couples should have been together for at least a year and be at a crossroads with their partner. Something like one is wanting to move faster than the other when it comes to their future commitment together, or one is ready for marriage and the other one isn't so sure yet.
If this is you or you know anyone who fits the bill, please go to seattlecouples.castingcrane.com. For more info, check out their Instagram or check them out at Kinetic Content Casting. You won't want to miss this.
So once again, if you're interested, it's seattlecouples.castingcrane, crane is CRANE.com, and definitely go check it out or tell your friends.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Hang Out. I'm Ellie Brigida.
And I'm Lee Holmes Foster, and here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise, and we are really down to a countdown to the flame. We have only a few more weeks until the flame is released. And you can help support us at patreon.com/theflamemusical. It's going to help us make this musical a smash hit, which we know it will be.
Of course it will be. We also have other exciting stuff coming up in the meantime. So you know we've been doing trivia. You know we're keeping the trivia rolling. And you also might know about us that we may or may not be fans of a certain little show that Netflix canceled known as Teenage Bounty Hunters. You might have heard us talk about it maybe
once or twice
this season. Who knows? So anyways, we have Teenage Bounty Hunters trivia coming your way, everyone. That's right, Hales Hoes. Teenage Bounty Hunters trivia. All happening on May 13th. And May 15th, we have some exciting news that we wanted to share for anyone who may be interested in trivia. So, Ellie, do you want to mention who might be joining us for trivia?
We have a few friends, just some good friends of ours, by the name of Devin Hales and Maddie Phillips, who will be joining
us. You
may
have heard of them.
You may have heard of them. And we want to spread the Stepper love. So Devin will be with us on Thursday and Maddie will be with us on Saturday. If you want to come to both, we won't stop you. To be fair, they're the same questions. If you want to come to both and not spoil the questions, cool. But yes, we are very, very excited. Devin and Maddie have been so good to us and to the fandom. And so they're going to be coming and reading some questions and hanging out with all of us for trivia. Super excited.
It's going to be a blast. We're excited. They're excited. You're excited now, we hope. So, you know, we'll see you May 13th and May 15th for trivia.
We're also going to be at the LGBTQ Family and Influencers Summit on May 22nd and May 23rd. So make sure you get those tickets. I'm pretty sure they are up now. So for all you New York queer people out there, the Cubbyhole is open again. And I would just like to say there was an article written about it that cracked me up. There's a whole outdoor section that they've added. And they said a strong butch carpenter created their outdoor wooded off section. So that if that isn't a lesbian bar in New York City, I do not know what is.
As should only be expected. Yes. Also in the Greater Les universe, we hear that the founder of Curve magazine was able to raise enough funds to buy the magazine back. We know almost nothing about what the behind the scenes of all of this is, but we are always in favor of, you know, queer people getting to keep the content that they have created. So congrats, Curve magazine's founder. Good for you. That's what's going on this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee, and welcome to our 64th installment of Should Have Been Gay.
Oh, it was fun, it was great, but it should have been a little more gay.
And in this week's episode, you can do it! You can do it all night long!
Honestly, Rob Snyder's greatest role yet.
I think it's like the most gift moment from the movie, right?
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect.
I'm going to say it's a tie between that and the do you want me to kill them sign. Those are, I think, the top two gifts from this
movie. Shout out to Vicky, honestly. And today, we are joined by a very special guest, Devin Ibanez, who recently became the world's first openly gay Major League Rugby player when he started 2021 by publicly proclaiming his love for his partner of 3 years via Instagram. Devin, thank you so much for hanging out with
us. I'm clapping silently because it's a podcast and it would just be annoying.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on. Like, I've listened to the other Should Have Been Gays, and I knew that I had to kind of dip my toe into this.
We are so excited.
This is going to be an adventure, because also, look, I mean, anybody who has not caught on yet that we are talking about Waterboy, we're talking about Waterboy. And here's the thing. We have, I mean, this is our 64th Should Have Been Gay. We've done a lot of these. We have a lengthy, still endlessly growing list of suggestions that people have sent us. Oddly, Waterboy was not yet on that list. Go figure. And I'm so excited. These are like our favorite episodes, are the out of left field suggestions that we just never saw coming. It's going to be incredible.
And yet you watch it and you have so much to say.
Oh my God. We might be here all night, honestly.
I mean, I almost judge myself that, like, thinking of iconic sports movies, I'm like, what do we have in my brain? And then I'm like, Waterboy, that's a great one.
Waterboy, yeah, that's like the first. I mean, you sent us three suggestions. So Waterboy is in your top three films.
I don't know what it says about me, but it spoke to me. I think we'll talk about that a little more.
Yes,
but it spoke to me more than I would be willing to admit.
Except are going to admit it for an hour.
We're bringing in all the details.
In this episode. Let's talk a little bit before we start about you and your journey, because, I mean, you reached out to us to tell us about your story as one of the first openly gay Major League Rugby players. And of course, we were like, that's amazing.
Yes.
We need to have you on. So tell us a little bit about what that was like for you.
Yeah. So I actually came out like right at the start of 2021 or 2 days before. I made an Instagram post where I just said, hey, this is my partner of the last 3 years. I'm tired of hiding it. And I've put off, you know, telling people about it for the better part of my life. I'm 27 years old and I hadn't, you know, publicly expressed that. And so I put that out there and the response has just been like incredible. Like I didn't expect it to kind of take off the way it has. And it's kind of gone around the world, and there's been all this crazy like coverage, and I got to pose in Attitude magazine, which was a weird experience, and like all this stuff happened that I never really thought would be possible. But I've been playing rugby for 12 years, and I came out to my parents when I was 11 years old. So like there was a gap from when I was 11 till when I'm 27, where I'm actually finally like, hey, yes, other people know I'm gay, but just so all my rugby teammates from 12 years know, yes, I am openly gay.
The gap between opening the closet door and like stepping through it was
Yeah. Lengthy. Opening the closet door versus bursting out of it and throwing some glitter in the air.
I love it.
I love that. Also, like, good for you for coming out when you were 11 years old. Like, right? To know yourself at that age is also very impressive. And then also, I mean, we all know coming out is like when you're like, oh, I came out in 2021. Of course, you like were out to people that you knew. You're out to people that you cared about. Like, what's the difference between like being out to your immediate circle of people and then making that step to be out to the whole social media world?
I think the big thing for me was it was such like an intentional choice by me, right? Like I said, I knew at 11 years old and told my parents. So I fully accepted and knew that I was gay and even comfortable with that fact to a degree. But linking it up with rugby was like something that I very intentionally did not want to do, right? Like rugby was a place where I found a lot of success and where I kind of felt the most myself and knew most of the people in my life from. But the idea of like alienating myself in that space and kind of coming forward and being like, hey, I'm also different from you guys in this way, because I think I kind of struggled already connecting with them in a lot of ways. Like, for example, rugby is a very big like drinking culture and I don't drink. And that was like a way that I couldn't connect with my teammates. So for me to be like also be the only kind of high level gay rugby player that I knew was a step that just like really scared me, because I didn't want to only be known as being like a gay rugby player. I wanted to just be known for working hard and for, you know, doing things that other rugby players are known for. So I think it was a really long journey for me to get to the point where I felt like I could be proud of that and not feel like it had to be connected to how successful of a rugby player I was. Because I think a lot of my journey was about trying to like justify coming out and justify being good enough at rugby to be able to like put my hand up and say, I'm also openly gay. And I think I've proven myself enough in rugby that I deserve to be able to say that.
So there was no pressure is what you're saying. Like, zero pressure.
Absolutely no pressure. I mean, I think I was just putting so much pressure on myself. Like I said, it's not even necessarily other people. It's like you get it in your head that you want to be the first person to do something. And you then want to do that the most justice possible, right? You don't want to come out and be somebody who's sitting on the bench and not playing every game, right? Like you want to come out and be very visible and be a big part of the team. And I kept on just setting new benchmarks for myself. Like I said, when I win the national championship, I'll come out. And then I did that. And then I said, well, maybe I should wait until I'm professional. And then I did that. And I'm like, well, maybe I should wait until I'm like a fully fledged and settled in professional. And so I just kept moving it further and further on myself. And so eventually it just got to the point where I was like, I know this is something that's important to me. I just have to do it.
That's awesome. Amazing. I mean, I think everyone can understand that from obviously like maybe not from the rugby perspective, but just like setting those benchmarks for yourself and then being like, you know what, this benchmark doesn't feel right. I'm going to keep moving it forward. And like, that's fine, you know, but you are here now. And luckily you came out because you get to be on this show, you know, like that's really, you were like, well,
goals,
whenever I could be on Let's Hang Out,
goals.
Then I'll probably do it.
Yeah, I wish I'd known that there were all these perks. Like nobody tells you when you're in the closet that you'll get all these great, amazing things.
Yeah, right? It should be in the pamphlet when you get your pamphlet. There's like, you know, you get all sorts of... The coupon book that comes with it is really handy.
And you get to go on a gay podcast tour. Honestly, love it. I love that for you. But we are here. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. We're going to talk more about it during this episode,
I'm sure it's going to come up.
So let's dig in to Waterboy. The reason everyone here is listening. Because everyone wants to hear us talk about Waterboy. You truly do. So, Lee, are you ready? Give us our IMDb synopsis.
Okay, here we go. The IMDb synopsis for Waterboy is as follows. A Waterboy for a college football team discovers he has a unique tackling ability and becomes a member of the team.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I will give them this. You know what? It is not, and here's why. It is not like completely an incorrect description of what happens. It's just like very surface level, like no details.
It's just not the point of the film, really, though.
Yeah, we've read worse. We've definitely had worse. Yeah. We've had ones where we're like, that's not at all what happens. But okay.
Close. But close. So, Devin, since you were the one who recommended that we talk about this film, can you tell everyone, first of all, why you recommended this film, and then your gay synopsis?
So the reason I'd originally mentioned this film for one that we could do is I really related to the idea of just like harnessing all this rage and putting it into a tackle. Is like something that for me was like so just like a clear, obvious parallel between Waterboy and just like me. Like,
you are Waterboy.
I am the Waterboy. Like, but like in all seriousness, like throughout my career, it's just like something in rugby that I got very used to because it's such like a physical sport. And my position is expected to like be very physical and tackle. Like before matches, a lot of what I would do is I would visualize things to get myself angry and like get myself into a place where I don't care about holding back and like I can just be physical. And so one of the easiest ways for me to do that is I would just convince myself that the people on the other team were homophobic, or that if they knew that I was gay,
yes,
they would say that
I
couldn't play the sport or that I wasn't as good as they were. So I think that that was always something that I would just like plant that seed. And it wasn't always a difficult comparison to make because there have been times where some words have been thrown around on the rugby field, but it just became like my go-to well of like, how do you get yourself up for rugby matches? Like, oh, just convince yourself that you're fighting for all of the queer community.
I'm not tackling people. I'm tackling homophobia, damn it.
It was very that.
I'm very into that.
Incredible.
I like don't think I've ever tackled another human being. I'm like thinking about it. I like don't have a lot of rage, but I'm like, you know what? I could channel that rage, I think, to tackle for homophobia. So you've given me, you know, some fuel.
New life goals, bucket list. Put on the bucket list.
Whenever we can touch people again, I'll just like tackle someone for homophobia.
It's very powerful, I must say. I mean, like I was never a like good like tackler necessarily. I just was somebody growing up who I like very much kept to myself and would just kind of like accept all the bullying that came my way. And then eventually I found a good way to channel that.
So is that our gay synopsis from you? Is Bobby Boucher tackles projected homophobia on the football field?
Very,
I like it.
Very close. So my revamped synopsis, because I feel like in a very typical synopsis, right? Total erasure of the gay community in this film, right? Like no acknowledgement for the struggles going on. So I changed it to be a water boy for a college football team struggles with his sexuality while living with a religious mother in a small town in Louisiana. And then segue that into after years of abuse, he lashes out in rage only to discover he has a unique tackling ability.
Nice. Amazing. Nice. So the same, just like, and he's gay.
Yeah, pretty much the same, just, you know, giving proper visibility to the internal struggle of the character.
I love
it. What about you, Ellie? What's your gay synopsis?
Okay, so mine also has a lot to do with his gay feelings. So, a water boy for a college football team discovers gay feelings he's pushed down for years, and once he releases them, he finally becomes the man and the success he's meant to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
A plus. I feel like everyone went very
deep.
Yeah, but not so much that. It's more that like mine. Mine sounds like it's the synopsis of like the porn version of this movie.
All right, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, here's my gay synopsis for Waterboy. Insecure virgin Bobby Boucher discovers himself and his manhood by getting physical with a team of sweaty, muscled men.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like...
You went much more of a fan fiction approach. Yeah.
Is it wrong, though? Is it? Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
The Wicked Witch of the East, bro. Tell me I'm wrong. Right.
You're not wrong. I will say, though, I guess he discovers his manhood with Vicky. We, like, really took Vicky out of the synopses, and I feel like we need to talk about her, but we could talk about her
later.
Oh,
we will get to Vicky,
she will be discussed,
yeah.
Yeah.
She will get her time. She will get her time in court.
Because Vicky is big. She's a big part. So what was your experience with Waterboy? We talked about this a little bit before we were on air. Devin, when did you first watch Waterboy? And then how was your viewing for this?
I honestly think I must have first watched Waterboy when I was like 10 or 11, or maybe this was the film that made me gay. Maybe we found it.
This is your route.
Yeah, maybe this is, there seems too much of a coincidence. But yeah, it must have been way back then, because that's when Adam Sandler just decided he was going to make like 20 movies in 2 years. And
it was the suits, right? It was those crazy, like the colorful, bright suits that he wears. That was what did it.
What's your favorite Adam Sandler movie of this era? Is it Waterboy?
That's a great question. I don't think it is. I honestly, like, Happy Gilmore is just such an iconic film. I don't think I could erase that and replace it with Waterboy. But also,
there's a lot of rage Billy there Madison, too. So
Billy Madison's another great one too. I do like Billy Madison.
True. I'm like, Little Nicky, that's mine.
Yeah.
It's a horrible film. I don't know why I watched it so many times. Like, and now that I'm thinking about it, oh my God, boob head is my root. Damn it.
At least we're just going to veer off course here and talk about Little Nicky for a minute.
I know. I'm so sorry. We don't need to talk about this. This is not Little Nicky should have been gay. So what was your experience?
We can come back to it, Ellie. If you want to add it on the list, we can, you know, we'll save it for another time.
Come back.
Little Nicky, I feel like, is one of those films that is like stuck in perpetuity playing on televisions on loop. Yeah. It's just like TBS. 24 hours, we're watching Little Nicky.
Little Nicky and the Harry Potter series, that's it.
All in the same universe, really. But, okay, so you watched Waterboy when you were younger. How about it on your most recent rewatch? What are your feelings on the film?
I mentioned it earlier, but the big standout was just like, wow, the bar for acting was low. Just like, why couldn't I have been an extra in an Adam Sandler movie is what I really want to know.
Yes.
Because it's not supposed to even be high school kids also, but I think it's important to touch on the fact that, like, Adam Sandler, who is meant to be a 31-year-old man, is the youngest looking person in this film. Like, all the other people who are meant to be younger than him are like easily 40-year-old, look like they've done a couple rounds in prison, and are now playing for this college football team in Louisiana.
Very true. One of the teammates for like the opposite team, he is like a man. Like he's like 50s.
Are you talking about the guy in the first scene or like the early scene in the movie?
Yes, he's like literally like 57. And you're like, where did you come from? But yes, agreed. Anything else on your second watching? Or, I mean, probably not your only the second time watching.
Yeah. You'd seen it once before.
I've seen it a few times. The only other thing is, like, yeah, we said it's just, like, no depth to the film whatsoever. Like, it is the trope it is playing on is that it is in Louisiana and that people in Louisiana have funny accents. And that's the meat of the film. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute. Aren't there swamps in Louisiana? Let's do a couple jokes about them eating snakes.
Yeah, and alligators.
They might not have put any depth in this movie, but boy,
but we will.
Don't you worry, okay? We will shine, sparkle, and shine this bad boy up as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's what my second viewing or third or fifth or whatever, how many times it's been. I finally saw all those nuances that I'd been overlooking, you know? The things that they desperately wanted to tell us, but the average viewer just wasn't open to.
Exactly. Like, then you watch and you're like, wow, Adam Sandler really was trying to tell us that he was gay.
in coming out allegory Waterboy.
Yeah. Lee, what was your experience with Waterboy?
I am so excited, Ellie, because here's the thing. It is so our running joke this season, Devin, is that it's season four that we're doing these. We're 64 Should Have Been Gays in. And somehow this season we are hitting like every movie that I have not seen. Like I have to come out every week and be like, I've never seen this movie. I'm so sorry. And like classics, like cult classics that people are like, how have you never seen this? And so look, I told Ellie I had never seen this movie. And I was wrong because I watched it again. I assumed that there were, like, I know some of the scenes from the GIF and, like, I kind of know the gist of the movie. But there were definitely things when I was watching this that I was like, no, I have 100% seen this scene before. Like, not the whole movie felt familiar. And so I feel like I must have had, like, someone had it on in high school or it was on at, like, a sleepover and I wasn't paying it like attention or something, because there were definitely things where I was like, no, I 100% have seen this movie before at some point in my life and remembered none of it ever happening. So take that, listeners.
What were the scenes that you remembered?
Some of the ones with his mom, and that's why they like stood out to me, because they're not the ones that like you see GIF'd a lot or that like would get posted and stuff. But there were definitely scenes that I remembered of, like when Henry Winkler's making the jokes about the snake and stuff, like a lot of that stuff felt familiar. So I was like, I've definitely seen this. Like,
not when Vicky's showing her boobs.
Well, I feel like that would have left more
that
of an
one
impression.
Has been ingrained in my mind for 25 years.
It would have left more of a mark, I think. So that didn't feel familiar. I don't know, but yeah, a lot of the scenes with Mama felt some of those I had definitely seen before. So I'm very proud of myself for this. You can't.
Yes. I love how, Devin, you're talking about like the bar for acting is so low, and yet Kathy Bates is in it. Who's like,
Kathy Bates and Henry Winkler, like
undeniably
icons.
Like great
stars.
Actors in this film.
Stars.
You're just like, what is happening?
Maybe that's what made everyone else seem so like noticeably awful, is they were just alongside these like actual like, good actors.
Yeah.
I mean, who looks good next to Henry Winkler? Nobody. The man's a star. What do you want?
Colonel Sanders wasn't like the best actor I've ever seen. Like, I don't know who is. So you remember some scenes. I'm sorry, Lee. I don't know why. Like, this movie is really like bringing some things up in me.
I was very happy that I did not have to come out one more time and say I've absolutely never seen it. I had seen it, watching it again, you know, it has aged.
It has aged, yes.
In certain
ways. It is old.
It is by far not as bad as I was afraid it was going to be going into this viewing. Mm. I have a lot of thoughts that we're going to dig into.
I'm excited.
What about you? What's your experience, Ellie?
My family, like, are, I feel like, just huge Adam Sandler people. Like, I have seen every single one of Adam Sandler's movies, even that stupid Halloween, Hubie Halloween film. I had to watch it because it's like this new one on Netflix. It's honestly horrible. And I still had to watch it because like we just like it's ingrained in me. Like anything Adam Sandler does, you watch and you like watch it over and over and over. Which is why I
blink twice if you need help.
I know. I know. Honestly, save me. I had to watch it. It made me. No, but I actually watched Waterboy so many times, would quote it constantly. And I feel like the one quote that I would constantly do, which is why I keep bringing up Vicky, is just like, Vicky loves me and she showed me her boobies and I love them too. And I would constantly like say that line. And that,
now why do you think that is?
And now
just let's dig in now.
And now we're here.
I'm gonna get out like
now
a clipboard and a
yeah. But I will say on this new viewing, I actually am really happy that we're talking about it, because I saw some I noticed a lot of interesting things. And there actually is some gay in this film. So we could talk about like we'll talk about it. But I was like, oh, there is some gay stuff that I feel like wasn't even like making fun of gay people, in my opinion. I was like, oh, there's gay stuff in here, and they threw it in here.
There's some of that. There's also like What I actually do love, and the reason that I think some of these just off-the-wall suggestions that we get sometimes end up always being our favorites, is because we do an awful lot of, like, Should Have Been Gay is the episodes that we do. We focus a lot on, like, the non-canon ships that people, like, see. You know, like, you have your Rosalian Isles, and you have your, like, Rachel and Quinn and Glee, and the things that you're like, look at the chemistry the actors have. And but then you also have this like completely different category of Should Have Been Gays like this that I love, that is, that is like, we'll talk about some of the gay stuff, but that's not what I think is the most interesting part of this as a Should Have Been Gay. The most interesting part of this as a Should Have Been Gay is the allegorical stuff, the stuff where you're like, you don't even know maybe that you're telling this story, but like this story resonates with queer people for very specific reasons.
It's a big coming out story.
It is. And like, it, we're, that's the stuff that I want to dig into, because it's fascinating sometimes when like straight movies like trip their way into
yes,
telling like telling our stories without meaning to, and you're like, ha ha, you don't know what you've done, but we will tell you.
Also, before we start in the actual like talking about the Should Have Been Gays, I found this fact online that really got me, and it especially Devin with what you said about acting. Adam Sandler for Waterboy won both an MTV Movie Award for Best Actor and a Razzie Award for Worst Actor.
No, he did not. Are
for
serious?
This film. Because when I looked on IMDb for the synopsis, it was like 6 awards. And I was like, what awards did this film win?
Oh my God.
And I had to look at it. So he got Best Actor and Worst
Teen
Actor.
Teen Choice Award. What else did it win?
Yeah, it did. Award. It won like a Teen Choice Award.
Oh, yeah.
Like
it must have.
Comedy must or something.
And, oh, my God.
And then another like shitty awards or something. Like, it is just like perfectly encapsulates why this movie is great and horrible.
It's polarizing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that just honestly got me, and I needed to share that.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
With both of you. So let's talk, Devin. So why do you think this film should have been gay? Let's start from the beginning.
All the signs are there. Just from the very start. Like, even the like absolute first scene of the movie is the water boy who's like shown as this like awkward, unathletic person who's just like on the sidelines of a sports practice, just like doing the best they can to fit in and like help out, but they're not actually like participating in the sport. And it starts literally with Waterboy getting like not a death threat, But like basically the next best thing, which is just like basically says like, hey, weirdo, you should go kill yourself, which is like, I feel like as gay or queer people, that's something that a lot of people can relate to, of like that kind of crowd alienating you in that way of just being like, this person's different. Like, we should encourage them to harm themselves and get them to fuck off. Like, that is just how the film starts. So straight away, it's very clear that like, this character is not accepted by masculine straight culture. Like, they do not fit in whatsoever. They cannot get anybody to respect them. And like, the rest of the film is just him trying to connect with his like straight counterparts and not being able to bridge that gap, and just like being different, but not really understanding exactly why he's different. And even once he starts like succeeding in athletics later in the film, he's like, but I should fit in now, but I still don't fit in. And I think that's all due to the underlying gayness that we're about to get into.
He's a mama's boy. He's different somehow. He's, you know, same thing, that first bullying scene where I was just like, why would queer people relate to this? Like, especially like gay men, you know, I'm like, what would possibly feel familiar about this? I can't imagine.
Yep. About this, like, toxic masculinity, not wanting to like take in these people who are different. Yep.
Yeah. And then you also, like you mentioned the mother as well. Like, the mother is like the perfect stereotype for this kind of film. God. Growing up in the South, you've got this like, it's like you said, it's a mama's boy, right? You've got this beautiful bond with your mother, and the mom wants to protect him, but, you know, also doesn't want him to be with any woman and doesn't want him to meet anyone else, wants to be the only person in his life, essentially. And there's this whole like thing where the mother is very traditional and believes all these kind of strange things and superstitions, and gets to this point where she like fakes illness because she's like, what, your lifestyle is killing me. Like, you playing football is killing me, Bobby. Like, that is,
it's hardcore flashbacks to like the X-Men, like, have you tried not being a football player, kind of like that coming out sort of connection.
Well, and the thing with, I'm like, what's his mom's name? His mom's name's Helen, right?
Helen.
Yeah, because I remember when he's like, who's Helen? But the thing with Helen or Mama too is that everything is the devil.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right? So like, you also have this like overprotective mom, and there's this story arc with her as well of like, if you look at Bobby as like a little gay man.
Yep.
She's like, don't talk to little girls, they're the devil, but like, substitute that out for like little girls, little boys, right? Like, don't, like, he's like, I met a really nice boy at the creek. And she's like, don't, no, you can't. I know you're a little gay boy. Like, stay away from the boys. Like, you're going to be a virgin forever. And like, you can't tap into your sexuality because it's the devil. Dick Clark's the devil. Like, everyone's the
Dick
devil.
Dick Clark is the devil. I am sorry, but come on. That is the line that honestly made me laugh out loud when he said it. Like, A, because the delivery was actually pretty great, but also because I was like, oh my God, that is like so perfect for this homophobic mom who is just desperately trying to like, I'm going to steer you on the right path. Like, don't do that. Dick Clark, the devil. He's not a handsome man. Like, can't you just see it so clearly?
It's
also like she doesn't outright say like gay people are sinners or like this lifestyle, but she does something that is pretty much exactly that, and says that astronomy is another tool of the devil.
Yes.
So that I think is a very clear cut, just saying, like,
I don't like
nope.
confrontation. I'm a Virgo. Oh my God.
I am the biggest visceral reaction to the astrology in this film. And that's why too, I have feelings about Vicky. I think Vicky is such a queer character.
Yeah.
Like, such a queer character. She loves astrology, first of all, and talks about it incessantly. I'm like, also, like, what queer person hasn't been like, I think there's like a meme that's like, if your son or daughter like texts you what time like what time they were born. Like they're trying to get laid. And I'm like, literally, that's what happened. Like she's trying to see if she's compatible with Bobby by like figuring out his sign. I'm like, that's just so gay. It's so gay.
I think it's also, like you said, very much so a queer character. And I think that it's plays in perfectly to this like troop of like, okay, Bobby can connect with one person and this person is like this very queer woman in his life. But there's also this awkwardness because it's like they're the only people who connect with each other. So they're not sure, like, am I attracted to this person? Is this like a potential relationship? But really what it is they're just finding out, in my gay version of this film, finding out that they're best as friends. And Vicky is just supporting him to be himself. And she's still working on kind of figuring herself out at the same time.
Really? Because I had a very similar but just slightly different take, because I totally read Vicky this whole movie as like, Vicky, I mean, look, I'm sorry, but she's like, oh, I just broke out of jail. Let's talk astrology and I'll soup up your lawnmower for you. I'm like, a whole dyke right there. Like, I'm sorry, what? And so I have this whole theory that like, she's very, very gay and is like, totally pretending, like playing naive to be like, oh, Bobby Boucher, let's find that manhood, huh, honey? And like, they are 1000%. She's just going to be like, let me slowly push you into discovering how gay you are, right? Because she's like, look, boobs. And he's like, wow, that was great. I really enjoyed that. Please go away now. I got to take care of my mom. <You know? laughs> So I feel like she is just sort of like, not so gently like shoving him into being like, see how you don't actually have any sexual interest in me whatsoever as I throw myself at you wantonly, even though I'm also very gay. Like that's how I like to read that interaction, because
I can vibe on that too. I also could just see them both as like, as bisexual, because also this is one of the best lines. Like when Bobby basically says he's bi, and like doesn't realize he's saying it. Like he literally says, I see lots of girls. I see lots of guys too. And this is why I say like, they're not even making fun of it. Like it's obviously like it is a joke. However, how is it received by the person who he says it to? She's like, oh, that's awesome. That's sexy.
Oh, one so out of sexy. Two. One out of two.
Because yeah, the other girl's one's reaction like, bye.
Whoa. So I'd say
to be fair, though, she walks away after he says he was with Coach Klein and his mother, which, like, I can't blame her.
No, that's when both of them walk away. So one of them walks away.
Oh, does the other one walk away first?
Yeah, so one of them walks away when he's like, I've seen guys and girls.
Open your mind, girl.
But I do still like, okay, yeah, one out of two. But still, you do get the perspective of someone who's like, it's hot. Yeah. Like, oh, you're open sexually? Amazing. Like, what?
Not bad for, you know, backcountry Louisiana.
Not bad for the time. Not bad. And I was like, oh, okay. I see this.
Did you also clock on to the scene with Coach Klein in the high heels?
Yes. So what do you think about that scene? Because that was quite interesting. Because there's layers. There's layers.
So I do think we do start getting to the point of where you're talking about of like, they weren't really making fun of being gay, but it's like, I mean, I think the whole point of that scene was literally just be like, look at this weird person who doesn't fit in. He even wears heels in his spare time. So I think that one was very much so just trying to be like, Coach Klein is different in this way as well. So I don't think that one was maybe the most uplifting.
Yeah. Sorry, while we're talking about Coach Klein, can I also tie Coach Klein into the discussion about like the overbearing, like homophobic Christian mother? Because I also think it's very funny that when when Coach Klein is trying to talk him into like joining the football team anyways, and it's like, oh, my mama doesn't want me to. And he's like, well, my mama didn't want me to get a Roy Orbison tattoo. Yep. But so I'm like, so wait, like your example of like breaking out of the mold your parents want for you is like you tattooed a man's face on
to
your
ass.
Like, cool. That's totally straight and normal, I guess. Sure.
Coach Klein definitely ties in to like the overall gay theme of the film. Like when I watched this, I was like, gay mentor straight away. Like the one who teaches him to channel his rage, tries to get him to stick up for himself in a way that he wasn't able to when he was younger. Like absolute. And yes, the revealing of a tattoo on his butt of a male musician is not exactly a subtle nod.
Oh my God, Coach Klein. I'm just like, what is happening in this film? But yes, I agree with the mentorship. I also do love how, like, the juxtaposition of what Bobby was like as the water boy for the team that obviously, like, sucks. Like, it's just, like, full of bullies. And then he moves to the team that's, like, some of the people are bullies, but he also finds some friends. Like, Coach Klein is someone who, like, believes in him. And then I also wanted to give a shout out to Derek. I just love how, like, the first moment that he has with Derek, right? He's like, oh, my mama says, I forget what he says, but like, and then you think that Derek's going to make fun of him and they turn it over and he's like, oh, my mama says that too. And they have this really nice friendship.
Is Derek his first boyfriend?
I feel like there's some, I feel like I would totally ship Derek.
You can share my helmet.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be brought in.
Yeah.
It starts with sharing the helmets and then, you know, like you progress to sharing the cups like the other dudes on the team. Is that is that once the relationship is a little more established, maybe?
That's also a, yeah, I don't, I couldn't
now,
tell you about
Devin,
that.
Devin, you're a professional sportsman. You tell me, is that normal straight behavior?
Sharing, actually kind of, yeah.
Oh my God.
kind of, yes. Because a lot of the time, like, we don't have a lot of equipment in rugby. So, like, people don't wear cups or anything like that. But a lot of the time, if somebody's, like, forgotten a mouth guard, I swear to God, people will be like, you can use mine. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, cool. They're like, it's not molded for you, so it won't fit, but you can still wear it. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's great. So I feel like that's more intimate than a helmet.
Yeah, that is. That is,
or,
that is,
but
so
then
intimate.
A cup, though, is it?
Then a cup, maybe not. But
yeah,
I don't have,
that's
I
like
feel
the
like,
middle ground.
I feel like that's the most intimate equipment.
Let's rank them. We'll create a ranking system of intimacy.
This is so, like, interesting to me, too, because, like, obviously, like, when you're talking about people sharing mouth guards, like, pre-COVID, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, the shit we used to do. You're like, yeah, take my saliva, put it in your mouth. I mean, I guess that's just kissing, but...
We're just going to talk about baby birding every episode these days, aren't we, Ellie?
Yes, we are. But what, I mean, what else do people think about Derek? Because that was their first interaction, but I feel like there were more.
I have one important Derek quote that I also want to bring up, which is at the towards the end. We're like jumping all over the place on this movie, but we can't help it. There's too much. It's too exciting. I want to talk about at the very end when Bobby shows up at halftime and Derek has this line where he goes, let's wait till later to hold hands and kiss. We got a bowl game to win. But it's not really said like sarcastically enough for me. He's just like stating a fact. He's like, boys, we can't all stop and make out right now. Like, halftime's over. Let's just like save it, park it till later. Okay. Like, rain check, we'll come back to that. And I'm like, okay, sure.
Do we think that's intentional or it's just like a product of the acting we have discussed?
I don't care. I am making it canon. So. They all spend time holding hands and kissing at the end of the game, whether you like it or not. That's what happens.
I could see it. I can definitely see it.
Yeah, I think that Derek was definitely one of the ones who stayed. I mean, I think I will say Derek is going to have a prominent role in the shipping conversation later. But,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think that, yeah, straight away, Derek, and this was something that I also related to, was like, now you've got like the two marginalized people on the team, right? Like, first of all, there's only like seven characters that they develop in the entire movie. Let's start by like yes. just throwing that out there. Like, so when I say that Derek is the only like black character that they develop, he's also one of only like seven characters, if we're being fair to the movie.
True. There's a lot of extras for like no yeah. people who actually yeah. matter.
Well, and everyone is kind of just like very one-dimensional. Like, you are Colonel Sanders. You yeah. are cross-eyed guy. Like, it, you know, they don't get a lot of
cross-eyed
there's not a lot
guy.
Of backstory. Well, come on. Like, what else does he do, you know?
Yes, you are two gay cops.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it also speaks to the fact that, like, we've talked about already a little bit about the "you can do it" line from Rob Schneider is like one of the most iconic roles in the film. And he's in three scenes.
Yeah, like, yeah, we know nothing about
and
him.
And he's he has more backstory than most of the characters. Like we already get we have a better sense of him and what he's about.
We know
he's got some weird bloody hobbies, you know, like well developed as a character. Yes, there are not a lot of highly developed other characters. You know, we do get at least some of the story of Mama, which is nice, you know, like it's kind of nice to get some of the backstory there and find out a little bit about like the missing father figure, which like I also feel like we could do like a whole episode on on your missing father figure and your giant gay childhood. And how you now, you know, seem to only, like, have heroes who are, like, Dick Clark or what's the wrestler that he's, like, super
Captain Insano.
Into? Captain Insano. Like, I feel like there's, you know, someone could write a small essay on this. That's all I'm saying.
He's got a very big noticeable lack of male role models in his life. But yeah, we didn't even talk about that in the overarching gayness of this film. Not only is he a mama's boy, he's got daddy issues. Like, he is one of us. Yeah. Let him in. Like, do not erase him.
I'm like, daddy issues? Who has them? No one.
Well, and it's such a big thing, too, because it's like that, I think is supposed to come up in the context of like his daddy issues, but what ends up becoming the running theme throughout the movie is like, you're barely even a man. Where's your manhood,
yep.
You know, and all this stuff. And you're just like, oh, is that, that's where we're going. Okay.
Also, like, what does it mean to be a man if Bobby's not a man?
I mean, well, I think that's why it was such an obvious, like, relatable thing for just, like, queer people who have ever tried to play, like, a masculine sport. It's like, that's all that it's about. And that's the insults that you get are ones that are trying to say that you're less of a man than the people you're around. And, like, that's literally all the messaging that Bobby gets throughout the film. And then it gets to the point where he starts succeeding and he's doing well in athletics. And he's like, that's it. Like, that means I'm a man, right? I'm more manly than everyone else. And they're all still just sort of like, well, no, we still don't see you doing these other behaviors that we identify as being, you know, alpha male or masculine. So even though you're the best football player here, we still don't see that for you.
But that's why I love, like, if you read this story as like a coming out allegory, I love that then you have this like, look, now he's like empowered and confident in himself. And it's like, welcome to your manhood, Bobby Boucher. And I'm like, yes, because that's what really being a man is like confidently stepping into being yourself. Thank you, Bobby. A gift for gay men everywhere, really.
And I don't know if the film was like trying to kind of give us a nudge, nudge, wink, wink early on, because I don't know if you guys caught on to this, but he leaves the team, the Cougars, and goes to the Mud Dogs, which I feel like... like, I'm not going to unpack that for everybody,
but I feel like they unpacked it
for us.
But, like, sit with it for a second. Pause the episode if you need to, y'all, and just, sit like, think about it for a second, you know?
That is amazing.
I have one other important thing on this note, too, because while we talk about how this is all just, like, a giant, thinly veiled story, I also really... The scene that super resonated with me is when his mama is at the hospital and he's up in his window with a giant crowd surrounding, and the guy that comes up and tells the whole story where he's like, I'm also not good looking or very smart or athletic in any way. And like seeing you out there, you know, like really was important. And I'm like, mm-hmm. This is hashtag representation matters. Like, this is this scene in a nutshell, right? Is there like Bobby Boucher, like, this is what I want your thoughts on, Devin, because like, you tell me, as the first like openly gay rugby player professional out there, like, you know, how does this scene
do you feel
your
like
life
you're
experience?
In the window? That's what we're asking.
That's what I want to know, you know?
I'm not gonna lie, it was really hard not to think that for like that specific scene where he's just like in the window and the whole town is just like there being like, you dared to be different, Bobby. And like, I'm just like, this is like so perfectly showing. It's just like, we had queer representation in our small town and it mattered to people who you never thought it would matter to.
Exactly.
So I thought that was beautiful.
It was a beautiful scene, right?
A beautiful scene in Waterboy.
Look, we're taking what we can find, okay?
Well, I mean, that is why I was like actually like, sort of like pleasantly surprised when I was watching it, because like I am making fun of it, but it is actually a nice story about acceptance. Yeah, and somebody who's different who like makes something of himself. Bobby Boucher is incredible.
And he is
another
incredible.
Thing I do want to talk about.
A hero.
In terms of like it as a metaphor for coming out in general, is that there are a lot of secrets in this film. What mama doesn't know won't hurt her.
Yep.
All of that kind of stuff. So I feel like there's like a big coming out thread.
And on that same note, Ellie, I also love right after the whole scene, the representation matters scene out on the window, when she finally like kind of tells him the truth, right? And they have this moment where she's like, I hid you away from the world, yep. Bobby Boucher. And she's like, you know, oh, I didn't want to let you be yourself and let other people see you for how great and wonderful you are, and I didn't want people to like see the real you and all this stuff. And it's like, huh, like that's a, you know, like same thing. I mean, cast that as a coming out story and you're like, oh, I'm emotional all of a sudden for Waterboy. But that, and then similarly at the very end of the game, because they have this whole like, you know, the peanut gallery of the two announcers during the whole like final game that they play, and the scene at the end where he literally is like, oh my god, he's like the hero of the game, quote, and he says, and it's because he didn't hold anything back, you know, which like I get how they were like trying to say it, but this is how I read it, is I'm like, no, like you be your true authentic self and like that makes you the hero, you know. Look, I'm just saying there's a lot hidden in here, that's all
there is. And there's also like, did you catch on when they were talking about how Bobby's like, I want to go to college and I want to make friends and be myself.
Didn't we all, Bobby? Didn't we all?
I can't wait till I get to go to college, yeah. And be free.
I was on a call with some colleagues, like some of my coworkers the other day, and one of them was mentioning something about Smith, and she was like, oh, I would never have wanted to go to like an all-women's school. And I was like, you missed out. So sorry. I also wanted to go to college and make friends. I don't know.
And have it be literally all the only all options women. For friends are women.
I'm just saying that I hear you, Bobby Boucher. Samesies.
Who would have thought I know, Devin, you relate to Waterboy. But like, did you expect that like Lee and I would relate to Waterboy, you know?
I did, because like I said, it's a queer story that transcends all corners of our community.
I think just
absolutely across the board. It's just
things you never expect you'll hear in your life, and yet here we are.
Like, I'm just envisioning, like, Waterboy goes to a film festival, you know what I mean? And, like, that's the quote. It's like a film that transcends for the entire LGBTQ community.
Premiering at a next Wicked Queer Festival.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so good. There's also, I mean, I know we think Vicky is a queer woman, but even still, so let's say another option is to recast Vicky in as a gay man. The forbidden love between the two of them, if you make it like legitimately Bobby is in love with a man who is Vicky. I don't know what Vicky's name would be.
Victor, come on.
Love Victor. then it like, you know, it's like he literally like sneaks this boy into his house.
And he's leather, like leather clad boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And he's like,
oh my God, the bad boy too. Can you imagine? He'd be like, I just got out of jail. Let me take my shirt off. Like, hot. I'm here for it.
I also feel like it makes so much sense to have Victor be this like out and confident gay man too, because the fact that Vicky's character is so like in front of his mother is just like, Bobby, you sexy man. Like,
Deputy Dog really does it for me. Hot.
Like, just like this like defiant, like little gay boy who's like, you're homophobic, but like, I'm going to shove my gayness in your face and like, because your son is hot. Like, I want that story so badly because I just love Vicky. I actually think she's a great character. And maybe there's other stuff going on there, but she's hot, whatever.
Vicky is great.
She is great. I love all of these iterations of Vicky, whether it's gay Vicky helping him come out or Vicky recast as the bad boy. I'm here for all of it.
And that entire scene in the bedroom.
his first kiss scene.
Yeah, his first kiss. Like, either you could read it as, okay, this is his first kiss ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if it's a gay awakening story, it's like, this is the first time I've kissed someone and it feels like something.
So how did you guys perceive Vicky's age compared to Bobby? Because, like, he's meant to be quite older, right? Like, he's meant to be older, but then there's this whole thing that they have a history and that Vicky went away. So do we perceive them as being the same age as each other?
I was assuming that they were the same age because of the flashbacks, yes. But they're not super clear about the age of anybody in this, so.
Not, well, the only age they make clear is the fact that Bobby is 31, which in theory would be like 10 years older than a lot of his teammates.
10 years older than it's like, so, oh my God. Like, and also how old were all the actors during this the film of this?
Oh God, I'm sure we don't want to know.
I need to know. I thought Vicky was similar age.
I thought so too, but it wasn't, they didn't touch on it at all, other than the fact that they had like a past together, which they also didn't really touch on.
Yeah, there's that one flashback where he's like, yeah. I met Vicky at the creek and she's cute and she likes playing with me.
And she's one of our five characters we're going to develop in this film.
Yeah.
Okay, the guy who played Derek was born in 71. They probably filmed this in, 96, 97? So he must have been...
He's like one of the younger-looking ones.
Mid-20s, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, what else? Granui. Ooh, Granui was older. He's a 68 baby, so he must have been... Yeah, like almost 30. Pushing 30 in this. I want to know how old Meanie was. Hold on. I'm digging through the IMDb.
This is very important research right now.
It is important. I got to know. Oh, he doesn't even have an age listed, so that's helpful. Well, it doesn't seem like he's done a ton else.
I just think that is so strange, though, because it's like with a high school movie, you're like, okay, well, I get it, right? Like, you don't want to actually work with a 16-year-old actor. Like, we get you. We understand. But, like, you can find a 22, 23-year-old act. Like, were you really so pressed they all had to be over 30? Like,
I think it, like, I want to feel like they literally did it so we would laugh. Because it's so obvious. Like,
I'm going to say so far, Derek is the youngest that I've found. So mid-20s was the youngest.
I feel like we honestly have covered a lot of things. But there were a few other notes that I had that I want to make sure we get to.
There is one thing we could discuss.
What
we haven't talked about at all about Coach Klein's relationship and implications of the relationship they have with Red.
Yes. Ooh. All right. Because, let's talk about it. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, there's that whole scene where Red, it's clear they have some sort of relationship, right? Like they're close. They're both going for the same job, but Coach Klein seems to think that they are quite close. And there's a scene where Red basically like flexes on him and is like, gets close to him and is like, you don't want this to get physical, do you? And Coach Klein is just sort of like lets it go. So I think that this was a romantic relationship that broke down, but there was a lot of emotional abuse involved, a lot of gaslighting, possibly manipulating him just so they could learn plays from him. And I think that that's sort of what's materializing there, and why he doesn't want to confront him is because he'd rather just not have Red and not have the memories of the abuse in his life and just let Red have the plays. So I think that's kind of the backstory there.
Here's what I would love to know sometimes is like lines like that. I'm like, what is the straight read on that line? Because it's like, it's a weird threat, right? Like, it's not a super explicit threat. It's not like, give me the book or I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Like, it's just like, you don't want this to get physical. And they're both in,
come
like,
on, the,
with their, physical. With their, yeah, right? Like, with their giant froze. Yeah. And they're like, I mean, it's just,
alone.
Yeah, it kind of leaves a lot to the imagination, I'm going to say. So, yeah, definitely.
I mean, and I do like the read of it as like an abusive ex, because obviously, like, it was not a positive relationship.
No.
But even the fact that, like, when he comes to show, like, oh, Waterboy didn't even graduate high school, Coach Klein disappears.
Yep.
And, like, if that is not the reaction you get when you see your ex, and you're like, I cannot be at this party. Like, I need to leave, and I'm going to go cry under my desk. He's like, I haven't talked to him literally since we broke up when I had a mental breakdown. Like, that's literally where he's at.
I think that it's also like, and this is a thing that I just kind of specifically thought about, like from an athlete perspective, but I also thought it was really interesting that it's like he's teaching the water boy to take his fears and face them like head on, right? And channel those fears into like rage and turn that rage into physical performance, which like I fully relate to that and I understand that. But then there's this other interesting aspect where it's now water boy is teaching him to face his fears by disconnecting from that fear, right? By pretending it's something different and not leaning into the fear, actually leaning away from it so that he can face the fear. So I think that's something that I thought was a really interesting kind of like allegory for athletes, because a lot of athletes need to lean into a fear to kind of like get themselves motivated. Whereas other athletes, if they think about it at all, they just freak out and they need to stay very calm and need to stay very disconnected from what they're about to do. So I thought that was a really interesting kind of like piece of it as well.
Yeah. And also I do feel like they're teaching each other all kinds of different things, you know, like there is like a give and take in that mentor mentee relationship. That's like his father figure of sorts in the film. And then we do, you know, see his actual father at the end, and he gets tackled to the ground, and like who doesn't want the catharsis of like their father who left them getting tackled by their mom? Like that was perfection to me.
Take him to the ground, Helen.
Yeah,
to the ground.
It all comes full circle.
I love it.
The other thing I wanted to talk about that Lee, I think you had mentioned, are Waterboy suits.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, like everyone always says like nice suit. Like Waterboy is like the one person on the team who has a sense of style, who has some fashion.
And who's vibrant with it, right? Like he's not just like, oh, I'm in like a clean, nice suit. Like, no, he's like fucking teal in your face. Here I am, pink, head to toe. Like, we're just never going to touch on that. Please,
yeah,
come on.
We have to. But yeah,
he's fabulous.
Bobby Boucher is
fabulous. I didn't even get into that whole thing. So like this other aspect of this character that they're very clearly trying to make him like the gay character is he's like super, super anal about small details. Right. Like he's like the most put together person when it comes to water. Like water is his thing. Yeah. He's got an outfit. He's got his devices. He just like fully throws himself into this hobby that nobody else cares about, which nothing could be more relatable for a gay person. I think like that is like, I think that is like absolute top tier relatability. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, they really like made no qualms of like, this is a gay character. We're just not going to tell you they're gay.
Honestly, like so much. And that's why I love when we do, number one, I love when we do ones that like guests recommend to us, because obviously there was like a lot that you can relate to and had to say about this. But also like when we just like are like, oh, we hadn't thought of that before. And then you watch it and you're like, yeah, 2 hours later, we have plenty to say about the super gay character. Now I wonder how many other Adam Sandler films are gay.
We will have to, you know, maybe dig in, but like not right away, please.
I know, I'm sorry. Next season, Lee. Next season's only Adam Sandler films.
Oh, God.
No. So Do we have, Devin, did you have any other things that were very gay about this film that we've missed?
There's one, it's not necessarily a really gay thing in the movie, and it kind of intrudes on the shipping territory, but
it's okay, it'll segue us
I think that there is a understated relationship in this film between Farmer Glenn and Coach Klein. Oof. Farmer Glenn is the one you don't understand, but is extremely supportive of Coach Klein, always there, always with him. I think that part of the reason Coach Klein feels comfortable in this team setting is because Farmer Glenn is his rock.
Wow.
Also, I can't believe that we haven't even touched on his nipple piercings. I'm sorry. I just need to talk about that moment at the end of the Bourbon Bowl when he is like shirtless, full glory, like just having a little moment to himself watching his team win this football game. It is... I feel like we should leave him some privacy or something. Touchdowns really do it for him, you know?
I do love the Farmer Glenn Klein pairing as well, because, like, you're right, like, we can understand what he's saying, but I feel like Coach Klein always understands, mm-hmm. right? Like, they have this unspoken understanding. Like, they have this language that only the two of them speak. So you're right. I could definitely see that. Wait, doesn't he leave him to take care of everyone at the party or something?
Yeah.
Like, that whole party scene.
And it descends into an orgy. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even need to get into, like, what they do behind closed doors, because you know, like, it's definitely, like, quite kinky. But yeah, now that you've mentioned it, I can't unsee it. And it's definitely there. So,
let's start with that. Let's transition into that as our first ship is Coach Klein. And, well, okay, only because I have the IMDb page up still. It's apparently Farmer Fran.
Farmer Fran. You're right. How dare you fact check me?
It's okay. I was like, yeah, I'm just
OCD about tiny little details. The pH was not exactly right, so.
Farmer Fran.
Farmer Fran, which honestly rolls off the tongue a bit better. And is also, I feel like, a gayer name than Glenn.
Fran is a very gay name. It's like super gender neutral. You know what I mean? Like could go either way. Like, it's for sure a very gay name.
So if we ship Coach Klein and Farmer Fran,
what's their ship name?
What's their ship name?
That was not my main ship, so I haven't thought of them with the name yet. Let's see.
All right, we'll go on the spot.
Farmer Coach, Frant Clan.
Frine?
Frine. You could do Frine.
Frine.
Farmer Farch. Coach. I think Farmer Coach.
Farmer
is just
Coach.
Perfect,
yeah, just keep it. Know? Keep it simple. All right. So who's your if they are not your main ship, who's your biggest ship in this?
Biggest ship, 100%, is gotta be Derek and Bobby.
Yeah.
Like, there's like, and that was literally the first scene I saw them together. I'm like, cool, we've got that sorted. Love interest out the way, done.
Like, they're so cute together.
Tell me you do not have Dobby written down in your notes. Come on. Hashtag Dobby. I ship it.
I was gonna do Dobby. The one that I changed to, though, because I wanted to be a little bit less like an actual name, was Darabi. Because I think it's a little bit more of like a, you know, more of like a fancy kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's two different names there. You're not just like, oh, they're not exactly one person. They're kind of two people mashed together.
Yeah, Darabi. I'm into it. My big ship is going to be Bobby and Victor.
Yes. I'm so happy you did
which
that.
Which is Bo Victor.
Hmm.
Okay. But what about Bobter?
Bobter. Or if we want to actually, Victor also could be called Vicky for short. We could just do Bicky. Or if we use Boucher, I feel like Boucher is underused. What's Vicky's last name, though?
I wanted to work Valancourt. With
Boucher. Vicky Valancourt. So.
Bouchencourt.
Valanchay.
Hmm. Yeah.
Valanchay.
I mean, there's honestly really good ones for that one.
Boucourt.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, Bobby Boucourt. I don't know. I'm kind of here for Bicky.
Also, what do we think of their wedding at the end?
Beards. I think beards.
Yeah, very thrown in there as well. It's like a very shoehorned in scene.
Right. They're like, just like, yeah. And Bobby's a man now. And yet, they still have not consummated.
It's going to be an interesting
night. Even before they got married. She's like, wait till tonight. He's like, what happens tonight?
Fully unaware.
She's like, we sit down and I show you gay porn and we learn about ourselves.
She's like, okay. I beg you, like literally.
I mean, honestly, probably, yeah. For that relationship.
That's like 100% what happened.
And I wrote the porn synopsis, yeah. Eh?
And now we all know the water boy should have been gay.
Should have been gay.
On that note.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Bobby, definitely in that relationship, that makes a lot of sense, especially with the expressed bisexuality.
Exactly.
It's already known and accepted. He has no shame about it. You know,
exactly. I feel like they would just like, yeah, they'll have a blast.
That is a lot of ships, but how do we feel about like a way, way outside ship? Just keeping in mind, this is the era of Stacy's mom. How do we feel like Vicky and Helen might come together?
Wow.
Knowing
a
that
dark horse pairing indeed. Exactly.
Keeping in mind, like I said, there's this kind of overwhelming feeling from Helen that even though she has this conservative background, she really wants to just kind of break out of that and really explore new things, and seems to have this sort of weird chemistry with Vicky about like competing. And there's
there was
tension.
That heat in that scene.
Yeah,
right?
There was some tension there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That has given me goosebumps because I really do feel like imagine now Vicky saying all those things, but she's like saying all these sexual things, but she's winking at Helen, and you're like, wait, what?
Oh my God.
Yes.
But also, what a more Vicky thing to do. Like, that is the ultimate rebellion, right?
Yes.
Make it be like the, oh, I'm totally going for your son. Last minute of year, actually, I was in the
actually, it's you. Wow. Ugh. Is Vicky one of the best characters in all of
so much utility
in entire in cinema history? Oh God, I love her.
They really are the only two female characters in the whole movie, though. Like,
yeah,
those are literally the only two.
For the girls at the party who are like, "Oh, bisexuality's hot," but yeah, like the any ones that have personalities,
lines,
yes,
lines and a name,
yeah. Names, yeah. Still not. We don't really pass the Bechdel test by a long shot, but you know.
No. What's their ship name, Vicky and Helen?
Can we like stretch it a little to get Vixen?
I think it's Hickey. For sure.
I like how I went with Vixen and we're going to end with Hickey. That's, wow.
They have, honestly, they have the best ship names out of everyone. So I'm sorry we didn't talk about them enough because clearly they're the winners, even though they came out of nowhere, but also they came out of everywhere, you know?
That was part of why I thought the age question was important, because I think that if Vicky's 31, that's not that
it's
crazy.
It's not, yeah.
But if she's 21, maybe a little bit more
May,
of a stretch.
May December romance. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. It's acceptable.
There are many huge age gaps in queer relationships. That is a fact.
It's true.
So
I'm so glad we're leaving it on Hickey. What a
way to end it. So, yeah.
Does that mean it's time, Ellie?
It's time. It is time.
I'm so excited.
For our Q and gay.
Q and gay.
All right, Devin, are you ready? We're going to ask you all these questions and you just answer how you feel. All right, question number one, big one. Do you prefer A, water, or B, Gatorade?
I prefer Gatorade, but I know Bobby Boucher is going to burst out the wall.
Yeah, you're going to get tackled.
What's your color? What's your flavor?
If we're going traditional, it's red. But if I'm throwing an outside one in there, I really love the white glacial cherry flavor.
Excellent. Nice.
What about you?
I'm a purple, like a light purple girl. What's that one?
I
just know the colors, but I don't know the flavors.
That's another one of the glacier flavors.
Yeah, I think it's a glacier one. I was always like the ice blue in high school. That was always like the... And then, I don't know, I kind of feel like... It's just the red, whatever, like the fruit. Is that fruit punchy?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah.
I like the red one. The red one's a classic.
Classic. It's good. Yeah. Okay, question two, Devin.
The hard-hitting questions.
What would be the devil you'd have to avoid? A, a sport. B, girls, C, tattoos, or D, Dick Clark.
The devil I have to avoid. You know what? I'm going to say tattoos just because I've got the nice Jewish mother and, probably have to stay away from those tattoos, don't want to upset anybody.
No Roy Orbison on your behalf.
I get that. All right, question number three. This is a very specific question. I don't know how many other people are going to answer this one. But three, are you an out LGBTQ athlete? A, yes. B, no. Or C, to most people?
That would be A, yes. I am recently an out sports athlete.
Amazing.
Incredible.
I was curious what questions you were going to be able to come up with for this.
Oh, don't ever doubt us.
Yeah, do not ever underestimate you and Gay.
Question four. If you had to channel all of your anger to tackle someone, who would it be? Who would you see to channel your anger to tackle? A, your arch nemesis. B, your parents. C, your teacher. Or D, a politician.
I would say arch nemesis because there are definitely enough bullies that I could pick up on throughout the years that I could just insert in there. Just I thrive on, what's weird is I thrive on negativity, but at the same time, that's just something you tell yourself when you're not getting a lot of positivity.
You're like, well, I'm going to use it in a positive way. That's
you're
fine.
Like, you're like, yeah, I thrive on this. This is what I'm used to. It's like, well, I think if somebody told you were doing a good job, you'd feel good. Like,
you're doing your best with what you got. Yeah. And it's gotten you where you are. So you made a positive. All right, question number five. Are you ready? What position would you play on a football team? A, quarterback. B, wide receiver. C, linebacker. Or D, kicker.
Definitely linebacker. I don't have much utility besides tackling and just.
You are Bobby.
I know. I relate to Bobby. Yeah, I relate to just.
You're
throwing
just there
yourself
to
in there.
Get physical, is what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
Very much so.
We see you.
I just relate to the throwing yourself into a tackle with no actual form. Just fully full speed, jumping off your feet, going airborne. I relate to that.
I love it. I was like saying this morning when I was looking at your articles, I'm like, I need to go see a rugby game now. I'm like, you literally play. Where does the New England team play?
So the Free Jacks home stadium right now is actually in Weymouth and Union Point. So it's a little bit of a hike. But when I'm playing at the club level, I play in Malden.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, both of those are actually super close to me. So, the next
right
game you play, let me know. I will come.
Gotta get out to a game, Ellie. Get out
come.
There.
I will come, and I will see you tackle.
You will definitely see a lot of that if you come to a game. That's 90% of what I would be doing. Bobby Boucher.
Is it
style.
Funny if I just feel like I have to insert now that, like, I mean, like, live? Like, I have never, this is the I went to a women's college experience. I have never been to a rugby game with men playing.
Which did you say you went to Smith?
I didn't go to Smith. We were talking about Smith. Okay. I went to Mount Holyoke.
Okay, well, so I went to UMass Amherst.
I saw on your article that we shared before. Hey, Pioneer Valley, we see you as well.
Yeah, so there are definitely a lot of women's only rugby games going on there. That makes sense.
Yeah. So there you go. And next, if I am ever, out in the Massachusetts area during a season, I'll have to go too. Just, really broaden my horizons, I think. Why not?
Yes.
Please do.
Well, and that does bring us to where can people find you on social media? And also where can they find you to watch you do your thing?
So you can find me on Instagram at ThatGayRugger. I'm also on Twitter with the same handle, Facebook. I've got my own website, which is ThatGayRugger.com. And other than that, I mean, I'm just going to be playing, hopefully, in the UK, but also in the US. It depends kind of what happens. And I'm trying to just do as much kind of activism and advocacy as I can. For those who don't know, there was a recent ban by World Rugby that banned trans women from participating in international competition. So I've been working with an organization called Rugby for All to try to kind of spread awareness of that, but also push back on World Rugby and kind of mount some pressure to let them know that, like, hey, it's not really cool when you just decide to exclude an entire portion of a community for no reason.
I'm clapping silently again, but yes.
So I'm going to be doing a lot of that. So if you just kind of keep an eye on my pages, I've actually got a fundraiser that's going to be coming up soon where we're going to try to fundraise a bit specifically more against the anti-trans legislation going around right now, because that's a little bit more pressing than the World Rugby issue at the moment.
Yeah. Awesome.
Amazing. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Devin. This has been so fun.
It was a lot of fun. No, thank you guys for having me on and also for doing a sports movie. I think we did choose the right one.
I really do think we did.
Let me hear you say hip, we're gay.
We love hearing from all of you, and we love continuing to build this community, so we just like to shout out some of our favorite things that we've heard every week. And this week, we want to shout out two people who have reached out to us on social media. First, Erica, who mentioned that she had listened to our episode with Mari on, you know, just being gay and alone during the pandemic, which I think was probably relatable for a lot of people, and mentioned how much they loved the episode and how lucky they've been to have their dog and this podcast, which, like, sounds like a great setup to me. I think that sounds A+.
I'm honestly very honored to be even put in the same category as your dog, so thank you
right
so much for that. We also want to shout out Cass on Twitter, who said, because I know we mentioned girl trash in our last episode, and so Cass said we have to do a Less Essentials on it, and we're totally debating adding it to the list because it's
going on the list. Who are we kidding?
A gay musical movie, like it's meant to be. So thank you for that suggestion, Cass. And as always, we want to thank our lesbian Jesus patrons: Mark Foster,
Jess Klaus,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rose Nishino,
Sarah and Julia,
Carrie Ann Lawrence,
Danny Gunluck Tamora,
Brittany Ray,
Alana Rosen,
Tara Gleason,
and Lizette Stye.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Liz Shen,
Evelyn Smith.
Thank you all so much, and all of our Patreon supporters, because we could not keep doing this podcast without all of you.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or you can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe, and that way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up.
We also do have some videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
If you want to help support the podcast, there are so many ways that you can do that. The first one that's free and easy is leave us a rating and a review on the Apple Podcast app. It helps new people find the podcast, and also we just like reading the reviews.
Also, if you want to support The Flame, we are up on all podcasting apps as well, so you can rate and review the trailer. You can also support us financially at bit.ly/lespatreon. Join our Patreon family, hang out with us in our Discord. We have a blast in there, as you all know. So we'd love to see you all there.
And as we mentioned at the top of the episode, we also have a Patreon specifically for The Flame, where you get early access to songs, some behind-the-scenes footage from our recording sessions. You get to hear Ellie and I talk about making all of these songs. It's a blast. We're just going to keep rolling that with behind-the-scenes content and just extra footage and extra information and extra fun goodies as we start releasing the show. We can't wait. So you can find that at patreon.com/theflamemusical.
We also have merch at bit.ly/lesshop. We are also doing Porch Pride again this year. So when we're talking about merch, we have our Porch Pride 2021 shirts up. There are some just like regular Porch Pride 2021. There are also some more fun designs. There is one particularly, it says vaxxed and unwaxxed. So I feel like There's probably quite a few of you out there who are vaxxed and unwaxxed. So if you want to get that, you can go to bit.ly/lesshop.
Incredible. If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.